All right. Good afternoon. Here today to obviously report that we did have a third case of MRSA within this organization. To my right, actually, is Dr. Anderson, a well-renowned infectious disease specialist, and he is here as a member of DICON. We had him come in last night. We've actually been working with their organization. We've been in constant contact with the NFLPA, the National Football League, in regards to what's going on, and obviously with DICON in terms of their expertise in this, as well as their practices, have been something that's been very important to us as well as we continue to move forward. I will tell you that one of the main emphases we did do last night was we had Dr. Anderson actually fly in, and this morning spent over an hour just with a Q&A with our players to be able to answer questions about MRSA and anything they felt like they needed to do from a safety standpoint and just an intelligence standpoint. Then we followed that up and actually had a meet with all of our football staff and have another one where they actually talked to all of our members of our organization. Again, once again, for Dr. Anderson to be able to field any questions we had. We also felt like today would be a good opportunity for you as well to be able to ask questions. We will fill you in as much as we can from a medical standpoint, football related and or medically related, and with that, I would open up questions.
Can you confirm that Jonathan Banks is the third player to
MRSA? I would tell you this. I've spoken to the player. I've spoken to his agent, and we're not at liberty to confirm or deny any player right now.
What level of understanding do you have at this point that this is somewhat under control, or is it not under control?
I would say just I'll briefly touch on that, and then Dr. Anderson, I'll let you certainly chime in. It's been something that's obviously very important to us. The player and health safety of our players is of the utmost importance. And it's been something that we've worked very strenuously with. Our training staff, our equipment staff, a lot of policies and procedures that we've put in place going back all the way to even before August, but certainly post-August when we had the first case, first two cases. And we continue to follow those policies and procedures, and we're going to continue to find new policies that we're talking about even now to even further strengthen our situation. Dr. Anderson, if you would like to.
Sure. I think there are a couple of things to add to that. And first of all, the idea of, you know, is this a single type of MRSA that is occurring in these patients and these players? And we don't know about the third one yet. We still need additional information about the specific MRSA that we're dealing with. But we can actually definitively say that the first two cases were really not related to each other. That being said, there have been quite a few changes that, based on our recommendations, the facility has put into place, and actually additional recommendations that the facility will be using moving forward.
Can you say that this is a safe environment for players, staff, or is that too soon to know that?
I can say that I believe that it is a safe environment for players and staff, and I think there are a few reasons why that's the case. I got to come and review the facilities about a month ago and got to see how practice was performed, and I think based on my observations, I didn't think that there was anything very high risk. I think that football in and of itself was a known risk factor for MRSA and MRSA infection in general. And so the fact that a case, or even two and now three cases occurred, does not necessarily in and of itself mean that this is any higher risk than any other football location in the country.
So how do you explain that there's three cases here and none that we're aware of in the other 31 cities?
I think it's a great question, and I don't think we know the answer to that question, to be perfectly honest. I think that MRSA is very common, and there are several practices that occur that make you more likely to identify it. And so, you know, if you cultured every single skin infection that happened, then you would find MRSA. And so I think that to some extent it is related to culturing practices, which is, from a clinical perspective, a very good thing. You want to know what it is that you're dealing with. Other than that specific, you know, thought, I don't know. I don't know exactly why we've got three cases in this location and not in others.
Is it your recommendation, doctor, that the team undergo another cleansing process for the facility?
Not specifically for the facility. We do have a strategy that we're going to put in place starting either later this evening or tomorrow, where we have some specific what we call source control that we perform on the players themselves using a disinfectant for the skin. But no, I don't think that another treatment of the facility, so to speak, is required.
How did that become known about the third player? Was it today? Did
No, we've, I think through education, as Dr. Anderson just spoke about, we've really talked to our players about coming to our trainers and doctors if with anything that they feel is of a concern. We had a player actually come to our doctors and had a concern, and quite frankly, it's very smart by them, and we appreciate it. We pointed that out, as that's early detection is by far
absolutely
one of the most preventative ways to at least limit the control of the situation. This player did a great job of alerting us. It was early. We actually did a culture, like Dr. Anderson says, like we're culturing everything in our organization right now because it's that sensitive to us as well. We want to make sure we're doing everything with the best practice and policy we can do. And that result actually came back, partial result came back last night, late last night.
Not to interrupt, but is every player and or staff member now being cultured to see if they have MRSA?
No, I'm not going to get too deep into that because, again, that's probably a medical question. But what I would say is, no, you don't culture every player. I think without saying too much, and, Doctor, I should probably turn it over to you, generally cultures on open wounds or open sores.
That's right. We would not actually recommend.
Do like a swab of the nose?
That's right. I mean, certainly that thought comes up from time to time in this situation, but no, I don't think that would be – that's not a recommendation that we have at this time to specifically go and culture. The issue is, well, what do you do with that information? And we have limited options as far as what you can do to kind of eliminate an MRSA if you just happen to find it. So instead, we would really focus on those that have clinical signs and symptoms that are consistent with infection.
Doctor, correct me if I'm wrong, I thought you said that you didn't think the first two cases were connected or linked. How do you know that? Expound on that.
Yes, it's certainly a reasonable question. The answer is when we look specifically at the germ, so, you know, we know that it's an MRSA, but they come in different flavors. And so one of the ways we can tell which flavor it is essentially to look at what antibiotics work against it. And we can essentially compare, you know, culture from one player versus culture from another. And if there are significant differences between what antibiotics work, this is something we call the susceptibilities of the organism, then we would not believe that those are related to one another.
If there's no connection between those players or those first two cases, does that rule out that either player may or may not have contacted it through this facility? I mean, in the case of Lawrence Times, it's been said, we don't think he got it here.
Right.
How do you know that?
Well, you can't really prove a negative, I guess, you know, so you can't say with 100% certainty that, you know, that is actually the truth. I think what you can speak to are the probabilities, really. And the probabilities are that, you know, because these are different organisms, you would not think that there's a single source, you know, what we call a point source outbreak necessarily. So these are more than, as a result, likely related to just essentially in some ways the kind of day-to-day activities that all of us do, you know, skin-to-skin contact, things like that. You know, we know that football players are at higher risk because not only do they have a great deal of skin-to-skin contact just because of their occupation, but they also have a lot of skin breakdown. And so, I mean, the reality is probably all of us get exposed to MRSA pretty regularly, but because we have intact skin, we don't run into any problems with it. When you combine MRSA exposure and then subsequent issues with skin or, you know, perhaps as in one of the cases, a surgical procedure, then that's where you can get into some trouble.
And, Doctor, does that also make it unlikely that one of the first two players got it from the other player?
That,
they are different MRSA.
That is definitive. I think you can definitively say that they did not get it from one another because of the differences that we see on that organism.
What about the third case?
It's possible, and we just don't know enough information at this point. So we know that it is a staph, we know that it's an MRSA, but we haven't seen that susceptibility report yet to be able to say, okay, what's the likelihood? Now, actually, one of the things that we're doing moving forward, is in particular, since now this week we have two cases that are, again, close together in time and proximity, is to do more in-depth testing of those two germs. And so we're planning on getting them and really running some molecular testing to determine if they are or are not the same bug.
And when did the third player come forward? When did the third player come forward with some concern?
It was Wednesday. And that was the day that he did. And the reality is we got a partial, I don't want to say it correctly, but we got confirmation somewhat of the MRSA, enough of one where we actually contacted the league office, we contacted the NFLPA last night, and we also contacted the player to alert him and to let him know what our findings are. And, again, we're trying to stay in front of this and inform everybody as soon as we have information, and that's our That's our goal here, because I think that helps in the outcome.
Is this player going to be out for an extended period of time?
It's a good question. Right now, that's under discussion. We are in contact with, obviously, DICON as a neutral party into it all, certainly talking with not only the NFLPA and the NFL. Number one, the player, number one, has to feel like he can play. And then number two is there any public risk or in that capacity in terms of where is he at in his situation? And that's not going to be decided by our organization. That's going to be left up to the hands of obviously, the discussion panels that we've been a part of.
Dr. Anderson, did you review how the Carl Nix situation was handled as far as the treatment that he took and him being cleared and being back on the football field? And is there a chance that he was put out there too soon, or was this just random bad luck that he had a reoccurrence of this?
Right, so I did get to review some of his records and see in particular which antibiotic he received and the duration of the antibiotic therapy that he did receive. And honestly, it seemed very reasonable. You know, these were very high-powered antibiotics that he received for a very long period of time. We typically do not do, major follow-up testing, and that is to say you don't have to, demonstrate that you've got MRSA eliminated from the skin. Instead, you're looking for, how do his signs and symptoms improve. And my understanding from talking to the physician that was caring for him was that his foot tremendously improved, and essentially that's the kind of criteria that we would typically use to say, okay, can someone return to work? I mean, not just NFL necessarily, but just work in general. You know, there are specific policies, say in a hospital setting, that we would use to dictate when a person can come back to work after they've had an MRSA infection. He would have met those criteria.
In his particular case, Dr. Carl Nix, the type that he had, how rare is it that would reoccur?
It's a good question, and honestly, when it comes to that type of infection, that is to say an MRSA infection in the bone, it is not uncommon at all for it to recur. The reality is that oftentimes when MRSA gets into the bone, then antibiotic therapy alone is not enough to actually cure it, and so typically, in that scenario, that is where you've tried antibiotic therapy and it continues to recur, that indicates that you may require a surgical procedure to definitively remove that infection. So obviously in my field, this is something I see pretty often. That's often the time when we get called in to see these types of patients. But in general, it certainly does happen.
So you're saying Carl Nix may require a surgical procedure?
Since I'm not specifically involved in his care, I don't know the answer to that, but speaking in generalities about, this type of infection, it certainly is true that surgery is required sometimes.
Is his infection in the bone?
It certainly was. I don't know if it is at this point, as I have not specifically looked at his records as of Wednesday.
Mark, are you aware, other than the three cases that have been described recently of players, mm-hmm. are you aware of any other staff members, people within the organization or the building who have had either MRSA or staff that would somehow be related to this sort of?
I think the answer to that is I'm not aware of anybody in this building that would be related to what's going on with the MRSA cases that we have. No.
Doctor, is it possible if you have MRSA that somehow if that's passed on to someone else that a mutation can occur and that become over time the dominant staff in that person?
Right. That's not typically how MRSA emerges. So typically we tend to think of them as being very distinct from one another, and it's either MRSA or it's not. We don't typically believe that if you have, say, for example, staph, an MSSA on your skin, that if you receive antibiotics, it will mutate into MRSA. Instead, the usual scenario is you have both on your skin. You treat the MSSA, and the MRSA is all that's left. We don't really think of them mutating from one to the other.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Then, Coach will be in momentarily. So we'll back up.